Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I am so happy to have everyone with me tonight and here listening to another episode of All About Service Dogs, hosted by your host, yours truly, Doc Vinsel. Tonight we're going to feature Louis Ratliff and several of his friends. Speaking of his friends, I believe it's Aaron. Somebody tell Aaron she needs to dial back in because her call was dropped. So, okay, she's back in. Good. Gotcha, Aaron. So,
my call
we
got dropped.
Yeah, that's what I just said. But we got you back in, and you are live on the mic, so be aware. So we got here, like I said, Louis and several of his friends, and we're going to go down the line, and I'm going to allow you to greet the people, and then we'll go ahead, and we'll get right into the show. Tonight's show topic, folks, is going to be about livestock guardian dogs, livestock guard dogs, LGDs, or however you might want to say it, which consists of several different breeds. And this here panel is going to talk to us about these breeds because apparently they're all real fascinated about this breed and service dog use. And Louis has been after me for months to do a show where he can brag on livestock guardian dogs and their use as service dogs. So here I am, willing to please, and of course anything that's going to educate my public, my service dog family, I am with it. And I know that many of us have dogs in this breed that we're considering. So we're going to have a conversation, and we're just going to talk about it a little bit. And we're going to be nice and know that we're on the radio, and FCC has a little bit to say about how we conduct ourselves on the radio. So we're going to keep that in mind. And so, Louis, this is your party. Do me a favor and introduce yourself to the group and each of your guests one at a time, giving them a chance to say hello.
My name is Louis Ratliff. I'm partially disabled myself. I've had a Facebook page now for about 4 or 5 years on LGDs, or livestock guardian dogs. And since I've become partially disabled and I'm pretty good sized, I wanted to find a dog that could give me an assist with mobility. And the LGD seemed to fill the bill if I could find the right one. Now, a little disclaimer on this. We don't normally recommend LGDs as service dogs for a number of good reasons. Number one, they're very large, powerful dogs. They'll go from anywhere from 110 to up to even 170 or 80 pounds. Very large, very strong. And they have the wired-in defensiveness that they protect whoever they're bonded to. So in the case of a situation where a person wouldn't have control over the dog, say epilepsy, fainting, so forth, you wouldn't want a dog that is going to kill the EMS service when they arrive to take care of you. You want a dog that is good behavior and temperament in that respect. Also, they're very hard to train. But as it happened, I was able to find a very good dog with a minimal aggression complex. We've socialized her from the time we got her as a six-month pup. And so far at 2 years, she's just a big, lovable wuss. Kids can come up to her. She likes kids. Strangers, so while she's a bit standoffish, she's very well behaved, good etiquette around them in any public place. She's an Achbosh. There's about 40 different separate breeds of LGDs, which to most people in the U.S. Would have very strange, unfamiliar names, because most of them come from either the Middle East or Europe, which is where they've been bred for centuries. The thing that a person would find different about them, having been used to your generic modern breed, these aren't a modern breed. They've been around for centuries, and they're bred to be independent thinkers who normally far and away from any human contact. Their only responsibility is to take care of the stock that they're bonded to, sheep, goats, cattle, some cases yaks, what have you. But that just sort of gives a outline of what I'm about with an LG as far as an assistance dog. Maybe somebody could bring up some other point.
Okay, looks like Lewis just totally disregarded what I asked him to do because he got his own agenda. Let's see if I can do this myself, since Lewis just went ahead and didn't do what I asked him to do. Tam, do me a favor and come up on the microphone, introduce yourself, and whether or not you have a service dog, and we'll see if we can get this thing going.
My name is Tam, and I do not, in fact, have service dogs. I have livestock guardian dogs. I have two breeds of livestock guardian that live with my sheep in a medium predator load area. I have a Great Pyrenees dog and an Italian Maremma dog, and they live 24/7 with my livestock.
Okay, and let's see. Erin, please.
Yeah, I'm Erin. I'm from South Texas. I do not have a service dog. However, I've been training dogs, and I've actually trained some service dogs here and there since about 2003 when I graduated from dog training school. But I do keep what I call a general-purpose farm guardian, I guess you could call him, because he doesn't live 100% of the time with his stock. They kind of just free range, and he's free to be about my farm and kind of watch things for me. And he is a Turkish Congo Bow Shepherd Cross. But I'm glad y'all asked me to be a part of this.
Great. And we don't have Anna. She never called in. Am I correct? Anna, are you out there? And I just didn't see you. No. Cool. All righty. Now it sounds like we've got all our sound taken care of. We did find our speakerphone user, and we're not going to call any names or genders, so people won't figure it out, but we do appreciate it. That was one of the things I was trying to get to on that sound check, because we do want people to be able to understand us and hear us so they can enjoy the show. So what we have here, we have Lewis, who does have a service dog, which happens to be of the LGB breed, one of those breeds, and a few of his admins to one of the groups that he admins for as well. And so their expertise is on training and LGDs. And so basically we're trying to couch this around, you know, this is a breed of dog with certain tendencies and certain abilities, and there's certain pros and cons to using them as service dogs or double training them, cross training them, if you will, as livestock guardian dogs as well as service dogs. So, Lewis, I'm going to pass it back over to you, and I'm going to let you try to get the conversation started again. And if you can cut up some of that, what you said in the opening, and just take some bites at a time, and then we can get the ladies to comment.
Sure, sure. One thing you could say on the pro side of LGDs as a service dog is that they're really multi-purpose, multitaskers as far as doubling on protection of livestock and service dog. If you start them early enough and take them out, they make good house dogs. A word of caution, there's a lot of shedding involved because they're double coated, in some cases rough coated, long haired dogs. So you've normally got a shedding problem involved. But as far as a house dog, they get along great in a house just as well as in a 40-acre field.
Well, from a con standpoint, this is Tam, a con standpoint of these dogs is that they tend to be very nocturnal. Their hardwiring DNA and genetics say that the dangers to the flock happen at night, and so nocturnal dogs tend to be a bit lazy during the daytime and often too active for most handicapped folks during the darker hours of the night.
I agree with that 100%. And to add to that, being nocturnal, this is Erin, they are boisterous. I don't think there isn't a livestock guardian breed that isn't a barker. That's one of the downsides as a pet, as a service dog, but one of the things that we expect out of a livestock guardian dog.
Right. Well, you know, this is Lewis. It's funny, Cece very seldom, if ever, barks.
Oh, you got a good one. You're lucky.
The things that my dogs bark at go bang in the night in the woods. So therefore, their hearing is very, very acute. They can hear and see as well as smell things that could be up to a half mile or further distant from the boundaries that they are patrolling. And my dogs, because they are outside 24/7 with the stock, are unregulated as far as what they are doing during the day and the night. They are kept confined inside their fences and tend to love and absolutely adore their stock, so therefore are not interested in leaving them per se. But I don't have much control over what they may or may not bark at. And that's developed over time. Lewis says his Cece is 2 years old, and in a purely guardian standpoint, that's still a very, very young dog. So those nocturnal noises really can set the dogs to a fairly ferocious pace of barking if the dogs believe that that danger is imminent.
Yeah.
Right. Well, as I said a few minutes ago, I looked a long time for this particular dog, and given its good breeding and just general behavior traits, it seemed that she would be a very laid-back and amenable dog for this kind of work, which so far has turned out to be true. Now, I know there was a few years ago that a woman started a service dog .org enterprise of some sort that used Dog Bosch, and she found out that after about 3 years, they would tend to get defensive and aggressive. So in my case, I need to keep a constant eye out for any trends in that direction. But so far, she's been socialized very well with everybody and anybody.
I think that if I were, this is Tam again, if I were to look at the cons of using, or excuse me, the pros of using a livestock guardian breed for service work, their size and stability, I think would be very, very useful. And I've saw often that for service members returning from overseas assignments, that these dogs, because they can be a bit clingy if you allow them to, would make excellent emotional support dogs and safety support dogs for, service members with like a PTSD or something like that. So I think emotional support dogs,
as well as like mobility dogs and people who need, you know, dogs to help them with their balance and whatnot, because they are big, stoic, sturdy dogs who do not mind having weight put on them. You know, living with stock, they're...
Right, right. I think that given the proper training, they'd be very amenable to that, that they would be dogs that would take that job very seriously.
Yeah.
Many of the livestock guardian dog breeds from the Eastern European states had been cross-trained as military attack dogs, so that there are some dogs that do very, very well working with people, and I'm not saying as attack dogs, but that they can be trained to bond to an individual and protect that individual in all the ways. That includes falls and loss of speech, loss of mobility, things like that.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that as far as my area of use for the dog is in the area of mobility. I've got balance issues. I've got arthritis, fibromyalgia, RSD, a whole host of things that nobody knows very much about, and they can't do very much about it either. So I've found that Cece, as long as she gives me a 3-point to at least a 2-point tactile sense of location, I get along with the vertigo and so forth very well. Whether she's actually tending to strictly what her business is, should be at that time, is still a still another point. But she's a young dog and she's in training.
Now, I do know of a friend of mine in Colorado who is partially deaf, and she does use a Great Pyrenees Anatolian cross as her hearing dog. And basically the dog just alerts her to, you know, someone knocking on the door, her phone is ringing, different noises like that. And the dog does very well at it, you know, it, as to be expected being a livestock guardian breed.
Yes, I would think that that would be very, very useful.
Yeah. Right up their alley. And it, in another area I think they would also excel in would be, you know, for autistic people, autistic children, because basically you're going to use a dog as a comfort item. And as, you know, for smaller kids with autistic issues, using them as an anchor, you know, stopping the kids from running off or wandering away, may be another good area for these dogs to be used in.
I might want to throw in here that while we all hear each other, Apparently we lost Doc somewhere.
Oh, Doc, where'd you go? Oh, yeah, he's saying he can't go.
Are you there, Doc? I guess he's having phone problems on that end. But I've noticed that around here in New Orleans there are very few service dogs. I think I might have seen one a couple of years back down towards the center of town, but mine is the only one I know of around here, and she gets quite a bit of attention any place she goes. The store employees all know her by name. They ask about her if she's not brought along. It's really no problem as far as access here.
Well, here in San Antonio, you know, Military City, USA, there are quite a few service dogs, both, you know, PTSD dogs, you know, and dogs who actually do support their handlers for different needs if they did lose limbs or whatnot. So it's very common to see working service dogs around this area.
Louis, do you think Cece's height has any advantage to you over other breeds?
To me, personally?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, to anybody. I mean, I'm only 5'5". I have no idea what a mobility stability dog would do for me, and I was curious as to whether or not a dog of her height would be of greater advantage to somebody for mobility stability than, say, a German Shepherd or a Labrador.
I believe so, because the idea for a mobility dog is to help the handler. If the handler was to trip up and fall, the dog is there as a way for the, you know, the individual to pull themselves up. You know, if you lose your footing, the dog is there for weight bearing to help you keep your balance. But yes, definitely. I think having a taller dog would definitely help, unless maybe you are smaller.
Yeah, that's true. In my case, I'm 5'11", shrinking down from 6'1" at one time. I'm about 185 pounds, and if I go down, I want a dog that's going to be able to take up some of the impact. Also, I've got her trained to brace, which is a service dog behavior where a dog will stand still and let a person pull themselves up. And actually, she'll kind of nuzzle under my arm or shoulder to get me turned the right way if I need it. So size is definitely a factor as far as mobility is concerned. Now, alert dogs, diabetes, hearing, and so forth, that's not so much of a factor.
No, but the guardian breed's natural sensitivities would make them valuable for that work. I commonly see my dogs apparently completely asleep in the field, and the slightest sound or change
right
in the atmosphere, regardless of which sense it's hitting, brings these dogs to full attention immediately.
Yeah. He excels very well at it. He's exactly what his mom needed. And, you know, there's many breeds that do well for it, but that's just one area that I see the LGD breeds could succeed in.
Yeah, we still haven't got Doc back yet, but I guess this has got to turn into our show. But in any case, I know Aaron, you know, a fair amount about the background and wiring of the LGDs. Maybe you could get into that.
I'm sorry, say again?
I know you all know about the
the historical aspects, you mean?
Tam's probably better on that one than myself.
Well, not a whole lot, but I do know that historically these breeds have been bred to work with the shepherd for, you know, thousands of years back into biblical times in those lands where, you know, we first have recorded information. I'll mention the guardian dog breeds of their time and their job working with the shepherd.
Can you hear me now? Go ahead. Doc's trying to get back in.
Okay, I was just saying that, you know, these breeds are ancient in their purpose and in their ability to work with the shepherd and work in the family and to protect the family. So they're, I call my dog Gracie, who's the Great Pyrenees, I call her my nanny dog. She's a great nurturer, and that's very typical of these breeds. I keep a male-female pair. They are both, you know, young still, one coming on 4, the other just 2.5. But they take their jobs very seriously and actually switch duties, the male being a daytime awake dog and the female being the nighttime awake dog, which is a great comfort to my neighbors because she has the softer voice. yeah, a much softer voice.
Much appreciated, I'm sure.
Yes, so the dogs typically work in teams and in packs or packs, excuse me, and are also should be bonded to their shepherd, their owner, their handler as strongly as they are to their stock. So the dogs, I believe, that are in the household situations probably bond more closely with their human families than probably any other breeds do based on that ancient history and those, that genetic memory that goes back thousands of years.
That I would strongly agree with would be another pro for them. A con I could see is, like Lewis was stating earlier, they are kind of difficult to train. To do specific, you know, there's not too many LGD breeds that are competing, you know, in obedience rallies and things like that because they're not as biddable and easy to train as, say, your Goldens, Labs, or Border Collies. So that would be a con, definitely. But, I mean, they're trainable.
I think they're 100% biddable, provided you're asking them to do what they want to do.
You said that right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. There's a cartoon out of a while back that said with a good amount of patience and training, you can train a great peer to do exactly what the hell he wants.
That's correct.
Pretty much. That's correct. That dog aggression,
right,
you know,
there,
that comes with some of our breeds would play a role in being a con for having a service dog, because sometimes you are in a situation where you do need your dog to be neutral, and, you know, you could be in a situation where you're going to have strange dogs popping up on you. And, you know, their LGD breeds tend to be, you know, defensive because that's their job. Hey, Lewis,
yeah.
Did you run into any of those issues?
Well, I know it was Cece because she tends to ignore other dogs and strangers unless they come along with here, doggy, doggy, and try to get the dog to pet and sniff and so forth. Rather aggravating at times because of the fact that if I need to go someplace, I need to go, and I don't want to have to play zoomies with a dog for 20 minutes in the backyard to catch her. That's her favorite trick as well. Let's play first and go later. Their recall in a lot of cases is practically non-existent, but on the other hand, some of them do have a good recall. You can call them back.
Argus, I will admit, Argus has a very strong recall, but that's something that I really drilled into, you know, that's something that is very important for me. So it's obviously something
right.
I've worked on a lot. So it can be done, it's just, but I understand what you're saying, if they want
right.
to, and that's common with the breeds.
And as far as teaching any particular behaviors, it's just a really tough road. I tend to be a lazy type of trainer. I'd rather capture a behavior when it happens and try to reinforce it the best way possible at the time and hope it happens again. But there's something about them that just sort of clicks in at about 18 months or so, that their wiring seems to be a little more completed. They pick up just instinctively what you want to do without having had any prior training to it, and they usually do pretty well.
Quick learners. And they read body language well, I would say.
Right. I think in the case of an LGD, it's more empathy and patience than making sure that you read the dog correctly and use positive training rather than punitive. And the chances are pretty good that you'll come out with a good dog for whatever purpose you decide you're going to use it for.
Assuming most people that are doing assistance dog work are not going to be using any other things than positive reinforcement, it's really, really hard to punish a dog that can sit on you.
Yes, or that can, overpower you.
Yes.
Very
and that's,
right.
that's one of their defensive maneuvers, is they will often
sit on you.
Corner and sit on whatever it is they're preventing from entering the paddocks.
On top of that, think about if you need to take a service dog, say, on a flight from here to California, or, it being as large as they are, that does kind of be a con with them. Argus is a large dog. It would be very difficult for me to be able to, if he was a service dog, be able to get him in a lot of places. Lewis, I'm not sure how big Cece is, but do you run into problems trying to fit her in places? Because I know they need to, they need to tuck up under tables and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, not really. She pretty well goes under a booth table. As a matter of fact, she'd rather be under there because she's got a tail that's just about as long as she is.
Right.
And she's always got that tail tucked. She's been that route before, but she'll voluntarily go under a table in a booth.
But if you had to fly on an airplane, would she fit safely and comfortably in the bulkhead where most service dogs ride?
I believe she probably would. Yeah, she can get herself comfortable just about anywhere. The size would be a problem, and it's something that I've never checked into because I don't have any need to do any flying anymore. But I don't know if you'd have to pay for an extra seat or how that would work.
No, usually they just put you in bulkhead. I've flown probably 20, 30 flights bringing service dogs in training back and forth between training facilities in here and the one in Chicago. And the largest I flew was a 100-pound German Shepherd. And I noticed it did become difficult for the dog to be able, it's only a 2.5-hour short flight, but it was difficult to get the dog comfortable and to be able to kind of tuck up, because his toes would hang out in the aisle, and it was difficult. So I'd be curious to see how other people who possibly use LGDs, how they handle that situation.
Well, as far as riding now, she spends most of her time riding in an Econoline van, a work van, which means if she's going to be up front where the action is, she's going to have to get her all fours and big rump down on that little passenger seat, which was a bit of a challenge for about 3 weeks or so, but she's finally got the hang of it, and she sits there used to a confined space. If my stepson rides with us, she's in the middle and she's trying to push him out of his seat. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if I should mention this or not, but I would assume there would be other people that might want to call in could call in since we don't have Doc as a moderator at this point. But, yeah. Doc, are you having any luck on your end? That was me.
Hey, we're back up here still, yet?
I hope not.
Yeah, Lewis, we're back on air. Hey, Doc, are you with us? I don't know if we're on or.
I don't know either.
Oh, we lost Tam.
Yeah. Doc, give me a sign if we're actually on the air here. We're not hearing a thing from your end.
I just hear you, Luther.
Yeah. Well, you see that?
No, it just might be me and the Aaron and Lewis show.
It might just be. We may have ourselves a whole different gig here. But anyway, just in case, to get back to topic, in case we are, maybe a little bit of a recap there as to what a person is getting themselves into when they take on an LGD.
Yeah, good, powerful dog, for sure. One that can be kind of difficult to train, but it's doable, as Lewis and all of us have proven. I'm all about LGDs.
Well, I know. I see your. I see Argus. Any place he goes, surrounded by kids, and
He. I can take that dog anywhere, and nothing's going to faze him. I mean, he can have 40, 50 kids at a school function hanging all over him and hugging him and loving on him, and he'll never budge.
You saw
2 weeks ago, I took him to that big festival in San Antonio, and there were 200 other dogs there and people, and, you know, he just took it like I would think any other LGD would take it, just like it's just another day at work.
Yeah, When they've got that laid back disposition, you can't beat them. And I find with sissy that she's just completely laid back all day long, and you have to wake her up to take her somewhere. But she's happy to lay down, go to sleep. If need be, any place we have to wait, she'll crash.
Argus is—he's a different animal off the farm than he is on the farm. On the farm, he's in working mode. He's always moving, day or night, constantly looking, cruising, checking things out. You take him off the farm, and he's that laid-back dog you see. I post in, you know, pictures and videos of him. We're cruising around town, just easy going. Nothing bothers him. It's almost like he shuts off his working mode and goes into laid-back, kick-back Argus mode.
Well, and you know, I've always found that the best way to get any dog, for that matter, into a more trainable listening state of mind is to either put a backpack on them or a service dog vest, any kind
of
something
to let them know they're working. Yeah, put their mind in work mode.
Any kind of apparel that goes on their back immediately settles them down and says, "Well, I guess I'm going to have to learn something here." So they take off and do right.
Do you see a big difference in Cece when she's wearing her service dog vest compared to if she just has her flat collar on, whether she's working or not? Does she seem to react differently?
Yeah, she's pretty much pull when she doesn't have that vest on or the harness, the handle harness vest on. She gets that on, she'll settle down and walk a little bit considerably slower than she would with a choke chain or a harness. I've started her off with a Haldie, which neither one of us liked, and we pretty soon got rid of that after she got the idea that her head was supposed to be going the direction I'm going, not some other direction.
Was she really big into polling? Was she, you know, most of the LGDs that I've worked with, it's getting them motivated to keep up with me rather than trying to slow them down as they work in other dogs. You know, almost like they have a natural heel to them.
Well,
how was she?
She's got a very good heel when she knows that she has to do it. Otherwise, like I say, if she's just in a standard collar, she will try to drag you down the street. But when she's got choke chain on and the vest, she's got a real nice, easy heel that is no trouble to keep up with her that you have to drag her along. She's very good about that. I don't know if...
Are you still there, Lou? Still there with me?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I think Doc and Tam are both gone.
Yeah, well, I think we pretty well covered it. I don't know what we could, what more we could add, really. So I guess we might as well fade out, too.
All right, Louis, it's been good talking to you. Tam, if you're still there, I'm happy to finally have talked to you and met to you. And Doc, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. You know, it's strange, out of probably 1,000 people I could call by name from Facebook, this is only I talked to you one time before, and other than that, it's the only time I've ever talked to anybody on the phone from any of the groups. It's kind of strange being able to put a voice to a name. Okay.
And plus to a dog face.
right, yeah. There you go. Okay, well, we're going to check out, so.
All right, good talking to you.
Good luck. Bye-bye.